Hey, it's Brad. Happy Saturday. And yes, you're right. I'm not usually here on a Saturday. What am I doing here? Well, we're trying something different today. See, since the pandemic began, if you ask the average American family how COVID-19 has affected their lives, the answer for so many people has been school, virtual school, in-person school. Are kids learning? Are they not? It can shape every member of a family every day. And some of these issues are not things you can cover in a five-minute Start Here segment. And a while back, ABC's education reporter Sophie Tatum came to us and said, hey, I've been spending all my time recently seeing if President Biden is actually living up to his big promise that he will open most American schools by his 100th day. And then she said the answer to that is more complicated than you think. And so is every part of opening a school. So that sounded too good to pass up. We decided to hand the show over to Sophie today, and she's going to walk us through what we've been missing behind the scenes over the last 100 days, over the last year. So here's Sophie Tatum.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to fourth grade. How do you feel about being in person?
Good.
Are you excited?
Yes!
Are you happy to be here in person?
Yes!
Did you miss your friends?
Yes!
Did you miss your
This
teacher?
Is Tracy Raddick in her fourth grade class.
Wow! When I look at you guys and I see how much you have grown.
Tracy teaches at Joseph M. Gallagher Elementary School in Cleveland, Ohio, and it's the first time she has been in her classroom teaching in person with her students in over a year.
I mean, I know I've known you in third grade. I've known some of you in second grade. I knew some of you when you were in first grade. There's some of you that have been...
The schools across the state will be closed for at least 2 weeks.
All schools in the state of Texas shall be temporarily closed.
Tracy is one of several teachers across the country returning to in-person learning this spring after the COVID-19 pandemic turned the U.S. education system on its head.
Nationwide, at least 64,000 schools are closed, impacting more than 30 million students. From Los Angeles to Milwaukee to New York City, the largest school district in the country.
More than 54 million students across the country kept out of classrooms for weeks in the midst of the pandemic, marking a seismic shift to online learning.
We'll look to have the most schools open that we can possibly in 100 days.
Even before taking office, President Joe Biden made it clear that one of his priorities was to get a majority of K-8 students back in the classroom in his first 100 days. Now, 100 days into his presidency, we ask, are we there yet?
Now to the long-awaited return to in-person learning in the city of Philadelphia. Today, the first wave of pre-K through second grade students went back to the classroom.
Yeah, it's a major moment. The first time in nearly a year the kids have been inside a school. And today the district said more schools will be open next week.
I visited an elementary school in Philadelphia that was in its first week of opening for in-person class. I got there around 8 a.m. when kids were just starting to arrive. Even though we're outdoors, everyone's in masks, myself included. Besides everyone wearing masks, it seemed like a pretty normal day of school. A bus pulled up, kids were with their backpacks lining up outside the front door. Their parents were dropping them off, and teachers were greeting everyone.
She's a sleeper, but she was not yesterday morning, so she was bouncing out of bed at 6:30, reselecting her outfit, packing her little backpack.
On paper, this is a success story. A school that was closed in the winter is now open in the spring. And that's what the Biden administration had set out to do. But when I went, the school was only open to kindergartners, first graders, and second graders. And they could only go 2 days a week.
Okay, so can you just kind of walk me through what this past year has been like for you with, you know, a first grader and a third grader at home?
I would say that the spring, the only word to describe the spring was terrible.
This is Karen Clancy. She was there dropping off her first grader.
So my work day has gone from 100% to maybe 60%. I'm working on the weekends. I'm working in the mornings. I'm working at night. And I just watch the kids every day, and my heart breaks every time I see them settle down, open up their laptops, and put their headphones on. Because it's just, it's just so insular and isolated. Even if they're in a class and looking at their fellow students, there's just something about it that doesn't seem right.
And when COVID-19 closed schools last year, many of them were already planning for spring break. But a week away from the classroom soon turned into 2 weeks, then three. Although some schools did return to in-person learning last fall, back to school was anything but normal for many students across the country.
It's been, like, really, like, great because, like, you get to see your teacher, too, not just your friends in it.
First grader Kira Schindler also goes to Nembinger in Philly. She hopped on Zoom with her dad to talk with me after a few weeks of in-person learning back under her belt.
She loves her teacher. She loves her teacher probably more than she loves us.
Yeah, I do.
What was your reaction when you found out that you were going to get to go back to school?
I was literally, like, happy tears thing for, like, a half an hour.
And if you didn't catch that, she said she was happy tearing. So crying happy tears for half an hour when she got the news she was going back to the classroom. But if you're wondering about that pledge I mentioned earlier about whether or not President Biden has helped open a majority of schools, here's what we know. The Education Department started tracking school reopenings earlier this year. The most recent data released in April looked at schools with 4th and 8th grade students during the month of February. The numbers so far tell us a couple of things. First, they tell us what schools are doing.
62,000 New York City middle school students go back to their classrooms, some 5 days a week, others on a hybrid schedule depending on space.
During the month of February, nearly half of the public school students in this country had the option to go fully in person 5 days a week. Second, the numbers tell us what students and parents are actually doing.
And now, Michael, the challenge to reopen schools. Details on California's new plan to get kids back in the classroom.
And we see that the vast majority of students are still remote in some form.
Less than 12% of the state's public school students are attending class in person.
These are not just buildings. These are stabilizing forces inside the Black community. Our children need to be in that safe environment.
And another thing the stats show. Coming back to in-person learning doesn't appear to be equal. Only about a quarter of white kids are still going to school remotely, but that number more than doubles for Black and Hispanic students, and it triples for Asian students. Basically, if you're a student of color, you are less likely to see the inside of a classroom. But if you're still wondering, has President Biden met his goal or not? Well, it's complicated. There are multiple groups with different estimates on school reopenings out there. One group is the data service Burbio. They track more than 1,000 districts, and they estimate that about 65% of K-12 schools have the option for kids to be in the classroom. All of this raises the question, what exactly counts as open? And what does it take to open a school safely?
Well, I mean, I think the first thing was like learning, first of all, figuring like what is the CDC requiring? What do they say?
This is Natalie Catt in St. Louis. She's the principal of Nebinger Elementary, the school I visited in Philadelphia where Kira goes. She was one of the many administrators tasked with figuring out how to transition from in-person school to remote learning and then back to some form of in-person.
Welcome, everyone.
And it wasn't easy.
Tonight, we just are hoping to give you an overview of Seesaw, which is going to be the K-1 learning platform.
We had to have moments where we were coaching parents, like how to log in.
You want to make sure that you click sign in with Google, not a different email or password. Don't worry about this.
What is Google Docs? Like, you know, like we had to really kind of like have multiple town halls with families to help them navigate things that they've never had to navigate before.
Remember, a lot of the day they are going to be on Zoom with the teacher. And they are going to be doing pencil to paper work. And then all you will have to do is take a picture of that and upload it.
Now that the school is open for some students, it's presented its own set of logistical challenge. That's everything from making sure the staff has PPE to navigating how students move around the classroom while staying socially distanced.
You know, before kids come in the building, how are they going to line up outside? You know, like how are we creating schedules so kids are constantly washing their hands? You know, how about the bathroom? Like, do we need a bathroom schedule? Can kids have recess? You know, this class only has 2 kids in it on this day. Like, how do we ensure that there's some type of socialization? Can we combine these 2 classes? Is that legal? Is that ethical? You know, like every little detail that you can think of, we had to think of.
So if there are a million variables in opening your classroom to kids, we wanted to know, what was that like?
I gotta say, the first day of school was wonderful. Everything.
Remember Tracy from the beginning of the episode? She was the fourth grade teacher who was hyping her class up in Cleveland. Well, we spoke over Zoom after she had her first few days of school back in person when she was on spring break.
So how are you like feeling now that you've had the first, you know, bit under your belt? Are you ready to kind of get into this new groove?
Yeah. I mean, yes. Just getting to this point and seeing how things were going to work out and, I don't know, seeing how the internet was going to work out and how the kids were going to do bringing their devices back and forth. And we're on our break. We come back after break and it'll just be now our new school normal to do things this way. Be online 2 days a week. Be in person 2 days a week. Follow the new rules of school during our 2 days a week. So,
even though many of the challenges schools are dealing with when it comes to reopening are the nitty-gritty, like making sure the internet works, Tracy even mentioned some things you'd never think about, like cleaning crews come in every night so she doesn't feel comfortable leaving all the student art projects out. Like, what if a kid's work gets damaged? But if you ask parents, it wasn't cleaning protocols that made this happen.
Everyone had been back, whether it was hybrid, full-time, whatever, for a really long time.
Karen Clancy, one of the parents at Nebinger Elementary, the school in Philly, said there was a singular turning point there.
I think the motivating factor here was the fact that the teachers could finally get vaccinated. I don't know why that wasn't a priority from the beginning.
Governor Murphy wants schools open as quickly and as safely as possible. Right now, though, educators in general are not on the line just yet for the vaccine.
Well, I've said, and I still believe this, they're in the on-deck circle.
States had initially been all over the board when it came to when teachers became eligible for the vaccine.
Like, people were flying on planes, people were traveling to other states, whether they were officially supposed to or not. Restaurants were reopening, some bars were reopening, yet my child was still not in school. It just seemed strange to me. And then when the rollouts for vaccinations were happening, there were plenty of prioritizations over teachers. So what was that all about?
My challenge to all states, territories, and the District of Columbia is this. We want every educator, school staff member, child care worker to receive at least one shot by the end of the month of March.
But in March, Biden announced teachers and school staff would be eligible for the vaccine under a program that allowed them to walk into their local CVS or Walgreens.
We made great progress with another target group as well. Educators, school staff.
Within a month of that announcement, the CDC said nearly 80% of school staff and childcare workers had gotten at least their first dose. The Biden administration also pushed through a major COVID relief package that is sending billions of dollars to schools. That money can be used for things like upgrading HVAC systems for improved ventilation to be in line with the CDC school reopening guidelines.
It's a problem in indoor environments, so in buildings and rooms where the ventilation is poor and virus can build up, especially if there's lots of people in the room.
At Nebinger Elementary in Philly? Well, that was a bit of a sticking point.
You know, there was a big back and forth here between the district and the teachers union and parents groups, and I don't know that it worked out perfectly, but it got the buildings in a safer place.
The district says that after a series of airflow tests, they were able to determine the maximum number of people that could be in each room.
Teacher Gia Lee says on a rainy day 2 weeks ago, the temperature in her classroom at the Earth School dipped into the low 50s. Without an HVAC system or HEPA purifier, she says opening windows is her only option.
But not every district was in a place to run tests or buy new equipment. In fact, a government report from last summer revealed that about 36,000 schools across the country needed to update or replace heating, ventilation, or air conditioning systems.
The kids were freezing. We're freezing. We can't focus. Rainwater was coming in.
Some of Lee's students sat up against the heaters to stay warm.
So advocates say the money was a much-needed funding boost for public schools. But some Biden opponents pushed back against the massive amount of funding, arguing that lots of these costs have nothing to do with COVID.
There's a definite cost of millions of dollars just to open the doors. And then once the doors are open, we still have to maintain all of those things.
But educators like Tracy say it has everything to do with COVID. COVID has set schools and students back, and it's going to take resources to help students make up for lost time.
So I'm going to be a part of this group that is planning what to do and what's the best way to spend this additional funding that is coming from the Biden administration. So, I mean, it looks like we will be providing a different, robust, very expansive type of summer program. And, you know, it'll go into next year. I'm sure there will be additional offerings, you know, either before or after school, both to help bring kids back on track. But it's got to be enjoyable too, right? Like we can't.
So we're 100 days into Biden's presidency, but summer's coming up and we have no idea what the fall has in store. If every student comes back, will schools still be able to socially distance the way the CDC suggests? Will kids not have to wear masks at some point? And what about their actual education?
And unfortunately, if you look specifically at Cleveland, our kids were already behind. Our kids, when it came to measuring our student achievement on a standardized test, they were always below, you know, other schools and districts in Ohio. And if you look at test results and you look at zip codes, those match up perfectly. And I think that this pandemic has just really shed a very, very bright light on the difference between an urban community and a suburban community.
This isn't about the virus. As you know, less than 9% is used to defeat the virus. It doesn't prioritize school openings. Most of the money for schools doesn't even go out till 2023.
So we can take advantage of these funds, the aftermath of this pandemic, to do things that are different, do things that will benefit our students in a new and different way. And it's not going to happen in a matter of a couple of weeks or a couple of months. It has to be long term. We have to look at it. One piece is over the summer. Then the next piece is next school year. And the next piece is the school year after that. This recovery is going to take time.
So there's a lot more questions than answers about the next school year.
We're just, you know, hopeful.
But for parents and their kids, there's hope that the lessons of the past year can carry them to something that at least resembles something familiar.
Do you want to tell Miss Sophie what you think of COVID?
No!
I think we can all relate to that.
Yeah, I think that hits home for most people, right?
All right, that'll do it for our special Saturday edition. Our thanks to Sophie Tatum for her reporting. Let us know what you thought. Hit us up on Twitter at StartHereABC. Start Here is produced by David Rind, Kelly Therese, Josh Cohan, Ariel Chester, Lewis Millman, Tara Gimble, and Lauren Efron. Thanks to Liz Alessi, Eric Johnson, Lakia Brown, John Newman, Elizabeth Russo, and Stacia Deshishku. Special thanks this week to Trevor Hastings, Bruno Rober, Chris Berry, Otan Leva, Brian Hartman, and Anne Flaherty. I'm Brad Milkey. See you Monday.